Well, for 10 years, Robert and Mary Moffett labored faithfully in a land that is today called Botswana. Botswana is sub-Saharan Africa, north of South Africa, south of the desert of the Sahara. And they served there for 10 years and saw zero people come to faith in Christ. You're talking about depressing. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? You go to a foreign land, you pick up your family and move, you get there. They were from England originally. Not one single convert. Finally, the guys who led the mission board back in London began to ask the question, how much longer do we continue to fund them to be in that place? But for this couple, their thought of leaving their post brought deep grief. They're going, but we've invested our lives, we've invested our hearts, we've invested our souls into these people, trying to reach them for Jesus. And they stayed a couple more years, and darkness continued to reign. They're like, we're getting nowhere. Well, one day a friend back in England sent Miss Moffett a letter that she wanted to help them, and she wanted to send them a gift. And what would they like? And so, and this is in the days before email, before telephones. I mean, you send a letter, it took a while for the package to get back, all those kind of things. But she believed in time that God would bless their work. And so Miss Moffett wrote the letter, and she said, send us a communion set. Now, we don't call it in our church a communion set, but it's the Lord's Supper stuff. The plates and the cups and all that kind of stuff. She said, I'm sure it's going to be needed soon. Zero converts. Well, God honored that dear woman's faith, and the Holy Spirit moved in the hearts of villagers, and soon they had six people who had come to faith in Christ. And they formed the first Christian church in Botswana, and the communion set arrived. It was delayed in the mail, but it arrived the day before the first commemoration of Lord's Supper in their congregation. And they celebrated together the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is what we do today. You know, we talk a lot in church about faith, don't we? You need to have some faith. Boy, this week's been a stress on my faith. Any of you have weeks like that? You go, I don't know what to do. I think, man, I got to just trust in the Lord. That's all I can do. But faith is needed if you're going to know God. But faith is also needed if you're going to walk with God. And I wonder, how often do you and I, on this Easter, I want to ask that question, how often do we live in doubt? We just don't know some things, and we're struggling with these. And so the question I want us to answer today is this, will I believe? Literally, the question I really wanted to put there would have been really bad English. And I have a daughter who has an English degree from a university that I love, and I couldn't do it wrong with her here. So it should say, will I faith? But see, that's not good English, but it's, I won't tell you it's good theology. So I wonder, how often do we live in this doubt? So let me set the stage, so to speak. You're probably going, are we going to talk about Easter? Yes, kind of. I've never shared on Easter Sunday the passage I want us to look at today. Usually we look at the crucifixion, the burial. We look at the resurrection, we look at the women at the tomb, we look at the faith that they had and the doubts that they had. We would look at Peter and John running out there and looking in and going, no, he's not here. All that's happened when we get to this passage. So we're kind of jumping to the after the resurrection thing today, because I want you to see this, because it answers the question, will I believe? See, the disciples are running scared, I believe, at this point, because their leader has been crucified. And they're wondering, honestly, am I next? Are the authorities about to come arrest me and kill me because I followed him? And they're hiding from any and all authorities. I think they're still in the city of Jerusalem because they're afraid to be seen traveling out of the city. And we come to this passage in John chapter 20. It says this, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, the Greek word is Didymus, if some of your translations may say that, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas said to him, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Well, 8 days later, We'll get to that. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Come here. Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him this, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's three things I want you to see this Easter morning. I won't take long, I promise. The first thing is this: doubt is powerful. Any of you live with doubts? I do. I doubt all kinds of things. I'm not going to give you the list because I don't need to add my doubts to your doubts, but we all have doubts, don't we? We all have struggles with things. We're not sure we understand. Here in this story, a mere hours after the resurrection has supernaturally happened, the Marys have been out to the tomb to see to complete the hastily buried burial preparations. They found an angel standing there, giving good news. Hey, he's not here. He's alive. Peter and John have run out to the graveyard to confirm what they said, and they get there and look, and there's nothing there but a folded cloth on the shelf in the cave. And the question they are faced with is, do we make a public stand and now go, "We're trusting in his resurrection," or do we run and hide? That's really the question all of us have to ask ourselves too. Do we take the stand or do we run and hide? And Jesus appeared to the disciples, but one of their friends was not there. You say, yeah, doubting Thomas. We call him that because of this passage. Doubting Thomas. Well, where was that joker? I want to know. I'm a doubting Thomas. I want to know. I just want to know Thomas is what he is to me. Where was he? The other 10 guys were there. One of them had died, right? Judas has hung himself and he's gone. So we're left with 10 disciples, and where is Thomas? I'd love to tell you I know, but the Bible doesn't tell us, so I can't tell you with absolute certainty where he was, but he wasn't there. Some people think, though, he was contemplating his life. What am I going to do now? My friend's dead. He's gone. It's over. Others think he may have been an introvert, going, "Man, I got to get away from all these people. I'm tired of people." I can relate to that. You might can too. All we know for certain is he wasn't there. And after Jesus appeared to these 10 guys, they're stoked. Let me just put it that way. They're going, "He's alive. We've seen him. Where's Thomas?" "Well, I don't know. He's off somewhere. You know how Thomas is. He's always wandering off." And when they find him, they look at him and say, "He's alive." Now, I don't know about you, but if my friend came and told me he's alive, what would I have said? I would like to tell you, I would say, "I believe you." But did Thomas? He did not. He goes, "Yeah, I don't think so." He says, "Until I see his hands, the mark of the nails, place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will," look at the passage, "I will" what? "I'll think about it. I'll get there eventually." Look at his declaration right there at the end of that verse. He says, "I will" what? "I will never believe." Wow. That's bold. Never? Never believe? He wants proof. I'm going to tell you something. Some of us in this room, that's where we are in our spiritual journey to God. We want what? Proof. Show me. Prove it to me. Let me see it. Let me see his side. Let me see his hand. Let me see the nail hands. Let me see the blood. Let me see where it was at. I can't show you that. But his doubt is a powerful action in his life. It is holding him back from what he could be and where he could be and what he could do. Please understand, we struggle with the same thing today. Some of you this morning are sitting here going, "Yeah, this Jesus stuff it's fine. I'm here for mama because she asked me to come. I'm here because my daddy said, could you come today and be with us in church? And they're going to feed me afterwards, so I thought it'd be a pretty good deal." Now, some of you are going, "How did he know that? I've been in church a long time, God. I know what goes on, okay? My morning this morning was in setting up the pan to put the ham in the oven so it kicks on and be ready when we get home, okay? So we do all that stuff. It's because it's Easter. Why do we do that on Easter and don't do other Sundays? But we do. Some of you are here not because you believe in Jesus, but because your family asked you to. I'm glad you're here. Some of you are here because, well, it's Easter. I better show up. It's what we do. Some of you are here because, well, this is where you go every Sunday and just what you do. But many of us live with doubt, don't we? Is this Jesus thing real? Does it really change my life? Could it make a difference in who I am? And that's where you are. And can I tell you something? As the pastor of First Baptist Church, it is okay for you to have those doubts. It's not okay to not figure out what to do with those doubts. Doubt is okay. But Thomas is trapped. He wants to see, touch, analyze the evidence. So doubt is powerful, but can I tell you something? Divinity was also present. Look at verses 26 again. 8 days later. Now hold up. 8 days. How many days is that? That's not five, six. It's not six, seven. It's eight, right? A week and a day. Thank you. 8 days. Some of us can't remember what we did yesterday, right? 8 days. Thomas is wallowing in his doubt for eight more days. And Jesus' disciples were inside again. That's a way of saying they were in a room closed off by themselves. And Thomas, though, was there. And although the doors were locked, who showed up? Oh, Jesus showed up. How do you get in? Y'all are going, you believe that? I believe that with 100% of my heart. He appeared in the room. Can God appear anywhere he wants to? Two or three of us believe that. That's good. I believe it with all my heart. I can't explain it to you, but I believe he can show up. Do you believe he can show up? He can show up. And he showed up in the room and he says to them, peace be with you. I would think so. Somebody just appeared in the room, right? When was the last time somebody appeared in your room all of a sudden? It hadn't happened to me yet. He showed up and he looks at Thomas and says, hey, come over here. Look, put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my... That's the side where he was hit with the spear, okay? He says, feel that. Don't disbelieve, but what? Believe. Can I translate that for you into like a literal translation? Do not unfaith, but faith. Do not unfaith, but faith. It's not good English. It's really good theology, though, I'll tell you that. Because ultimately, belief is not really enough, but it's the best word in English we've got to translate the pistuo in the Greek that comes over and gives us that word. And it's literally faith. Our doors are locked. Divinity shows up in the form of a miracle. Jesus shows up and stands among them. He wasn't a vision. He wasn't a phantom. He was there in physical, literal form. And he says to them, what? Peace be with you. And then he tells him to touch. Don't live in unfaith, Thomas. Don't live in unfaith. Thomas, live with what? Faith. That's a word for us, if you haven't noticed it. You go, oh, he wants us to join a church. I am not talking about any of that stuff today. I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Savior, the resurrected Christ. And that you're walking by, what? Faith. When God is in the room, listen, you're faced with a decision. I'm faced with a decision. Do we faith or not faith? Do we believe or not believe? Do we believe or do we doubt? This Easter morning, I ask you the same question. Will you place your faith in Jesus? Not in a church, not in baptism, not in a pastor, not in a religious system, but in a person. Jesus. Oh, I'm a good person. Good people go to hell every day. The call is not to be good. The call is to be following Jesus. That is the most important question you will ever be asked in your life. Have you made that decision for him or not? So one more thought for you, if that wasn't enough. Throw it up there on the screen. We'll get it. I've had one of those mornings. Can't remember things in baptistry, and I can't get Parker's apart up here. All right. Here's what happens. A dynamic life flows from profession. Did you notice I didn't say confession? I said profession. Thomas answered him and said, "Well, it's good to see you, Jesus. Where you been?" Is that what he said? Of course not. He looks at him and says, what? This is his profession of faith. Oh, that's not the Roman road that I learned in Bible school. That's okay. It's not the ABCs I heard in Sunday school. That's okay. It's in the Bible. I think we can use it. He says what? My Lord and my God. The Greek is very clear. It is a profession of faith. It is a commitment to Christ. My Lord and my God. And Jesus then goes on and says this. And let's stay with verse 28 a second. My Lord and my God. What he does is make a crystal clear declaration of his faith that says, I believe that you are my master, my Lord, and you are my God. Let me remind you, every one of us in this room has a God. Every one of us in this room has a God. It's either the God of the universe revealed in Christ at the cross and the resurrection, or it's something else. Your God may be your work. Your God may be your family. Your God may be your possessions. Your God may be your bank account. Your God may be a thousand other things. But I'm telling you, the one profession that matters, according to God's word, is this. Have I said, my Lord and my God? That's a bold statement. That's a life-changing statement. That's a statement that I made as a seven, almost eight-year-old boy that I had no idea what I was doing. And I kind of had an idea that I wouldn't go to hell. But I didn't really understand how it would change my heart and my life and my mind until I did it. There's no way to claim God as God without it changing every aspect of your life. And then Jesus adds a note of warning. And, you know, we don't like listening to warnings unless it's from the officer on the side of the highway. Because that's better than a ticket, right? Okay. Here's his warning. Have you believed? Have you faithed because you've seen me? Any of y'all seen Jesus literally in the room? Yeah, that's what I thought. He says this. Blessed are what? Those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who's he talking about here? Us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Thomas was blessed, don't misunderstand, but we're doubly blessed because we believe. Because even though we don't see, we believe. That's what he's talking about here. He wants us to understand that we have not seen the physically resurrected Jesus with our own eyes. We've not been able to see or touch or analyze the evidence. And yet many of us in this room have come to the same conclusion that Thomas has. And I pray that you do as well. That's what? My Lord and my God. Is that? Do I have to like go to Africa and be a missionary if I do? Probably not. But he will change the desires of your heart for the rest of your life. And you'll find yourself having interest in things that you bought before. Why would I ever do that? And so here's the call I have for you this Easter morning. Will you believe? That's it? Isn't that enough? Will you believe? Or as I put on the bulletin cover, will I believe? Ask it for yourself. Will I believe? Will I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? No, you know, I don't understand it all. The older I get, the less I understand. And it's not just because I'm becoming the senile or something, but I'm just telling you, the more I study his word, the more I go, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't get that one. But you know what? I believe that he is my God and my Lord. Two thoughts and I'll wrap it up. I told you we'd beat 12. Number one, God is certainly here. How do I know that? Well, I believe God's word is true. His word tells us where two or three are gathered in his name. He's what? With us. He's here. You go, I don't see him. He's here. He is right here. And you may be the kind of person that I kind of tend to be that needs verifiable visual evidence before I can believe. And I can have a long conversation with you, and many others can have long conversations with you about the evidence of God in our world today. But at the end of the day, end of the discussion, you and I have to do what Thomas did and take a step of faith and says, I believe. I'm reminded of the psalmist who wrote these words. He said, where shall I go from your spirit? And where shall I flee from your presence? And if I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in death or Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Friends, there is no place, there is no thing you can do to separate you from God's presence except dying without trusting him as Savior. Oh, that's quite a harsh, Pastor. Don't you think everybody's going to heaven? No, I do not, because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says those who have trusted Christ have a relationship with him for eternity in heaven, and those who have not will be separated on their own accord to a place called hell. You go, this is a weird Easter sermon. I don't think it is. This is the truth of God's word. This is what Thomas was struggling with. This is what we struggle with. Friends, God stands ready to welcome you to himself when you will turn to him. You may be in a dark place right now. God's right there with you. Your life may be going well. God's right there with you. Either way, one more thought, and it's a challenge. Confidently trust Jesus. How do you have confidence when you have doubt? You take a what? A step of faith. Oh, that's just one of those religious phrases that preachers and church people say, isn't it? I mean, we say it to make ourselves good, don't we? No, really, it's a call from Jesus to your heart and to my heart. He says, follow me. Walk with me. Let me dwell with you and live with you and love you. There's so many passages that we could quote here that go into this blank. But here's the one that I want you to hear. Jesus himself said to his followers, let not your hearts be troubled. Faith God, faith me. Believe in God, believe also in me. And it's where we come to the place where we say, okay, God, I can't, but you can. God, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I believe you can lead me through that. And you'll take me and use my life however you want to honor you and bless you and to bless the people I live with in this world. And so what I want to do here is I want to take a moment, and I don't do this very often, but I think today is the day I want to, or I feel led to, is we're going to pray. But I'm going to pray a prayer of profession. And if you're going, I want to trust him as my Savior, use the words if you want to, but have the attitude that we're trusting Christ. Y'all okay with that? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you today, Father, asking your hand to be in these few moments. And Father, for those who need to trust you, I pray, God, that they would pray a prayer something like this. Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I need you. And so I confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin of rejecting you, and I ask you to come into my heart on this Easter Sunday morning. And I profess my faith in you. You are my Lord, and you are my God. I pray for those who have prayed that, Father, you would just work that in their hearts. That, Father, the day would come when they were ready to stand up in their church or in this church or in another church or wherever, that they would tell a friend, they would tell their friends at lunch, their family at lunch, I prayed that prayer today. And I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what my life, but I'm going to trust him. Father, we pray for those in this moment who need to take the stand for you that they have been putting off. And I pray, God, that you'll bless them with the faith they need to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.